Hello, this is Pastor Elijah Wells of the Wells of Living Waters Ministry. Welcome to our podcast, which is a place to satisfy your thirst for the living word of God. Listen in and be blessed.
As new creatures in the body of Christ, old things are passed away and all things become new. The Bible said when we come into the family of God, the Bible said teach them to observe all things, lo, I have commanded, and I will be with you always, even unto the end of the earth. So it is sound biblical doctrine to teach the sound principles of the word of God. And it's just some things that we must know. We ought to know as believers in the body of Christ. And so we need to, first of all, know those, what the Bible call ABCs of the word, the basic principles of faith and salvation, forgiveness, grace, that we can move on to other principles of God that's found in the word of God. But we have to be able to teach others. The Bible said we should be teachable, that we can teach others. So we want to grab hold of what's being preached and taught so that we can first understand it ourselves. We can be able to explain it to others, know what we believe and why we believe it, what our faith is all about. And so that we can be confident that we are well versed of the Bible. And God commands us to teach you to observe all things. What I have commanded, Lord, I will be with you. And in order for God to be with us, we have to teach and preach and know what God's word says. Amen. So it's important to teach and preach the uncompromising, sound, biblical teachings of the word of God. Bless God. And I understand how important sound doctrine is when it comes to the word of God. So we're going to continue. I'm doing a series on back to the basics. Some of the things that you don't hear being taught in recent days and times, because everybody want to heat for themselves, itching ears, and they want a message to be preached to them that they want to hear. Bless God. Tell me something I want to hear, you know, self-edification. Bless God. But there's also things in the Bible that the Bible is very plain about that God wants us to know. Is everybody with me? So now that I've laid that foundation, let's move on. I want to talk about something called atonement. Understanding atonement is so important to you and I as believers in the body of Christ, as Christians, understanding this thing called atonement. Well, the Day of Atonement, just simply, as you go, if you study the Old Testament, we see that there was a certain day that was set aside. And what would happen is the priest's requirement was to minister for the people. And so what the priest would do, he would go into the temple, and he would go from the temple into the holy place. But before he could do that, he first had to offer up a sacrifice for himself and then for the sins of the people. And on the Day of Atonement, amen, that's what they would do every year, what Jesus Christ did once and for all. But he was to go into the temple and offer up a sacrifice. And I want you to understand about the sacrifice, because this goes to the crux of our faith. Understanding that Jesus Christ being the Lamb of God, the propitiation for our sins, that he stood in your stead, in my stead, standing for us, that we can be forgiven of our sins, and therefore our sins are remitted, and we're no longer held to the point where we have to be punished for our sins. Bless God. Now that's good news. And every believer need to understand that. And when you hear the word atonement, some people say at one minute with God. Well, that's okay. That kind of can give us a general idea, but it's a little bit deeper than that. And so there's two words I want you to pay close attention. They sound like big words, but I'm going to explain them today, because I want you to understand the concept behind these two words. Bless God. So when you hear somebody say atonement, you don't look at them like you never heard of it. And when people say propitiation, you'll say, I know what that is. Bless God. All right. So let's begin here with this word atonement. All right. All right. Because it's fundamental to our faith. Uh-huh. This concept undergirds the whole foundation of our Christian faith. All right. So atonement is the work that Jesus Christ did in his life and death to earn our salvation, if you will. Sometimes it is used more specifically to refer to Jesus dying and paying for our sins with his blood on the cross at Calvary. Paying for our sins. So now I want you to remember one word, redemption, because I'm going to come back to that later. Reconciliation, I'm going to come back to that later. But all this deal, restoration, I'm going to come back to that. But all this deals with the understanding that Jesus Christ, with his blood shed on Calvary, paid for our sins. Now, why is that important for you and me? It's important for us to understand that because of Adam, when man fell, the Bible says, by one man's disobedience, sin ended and death came by sin. So that means that when God created you and me, amen, or created mankind from the dust of the ground, Adam, and he breathed the breath of life and man became a living soul, and he said, let them have a dominion over all his creation. Bless God. But when God made man, man would live on, was made to live on for throughout eternity until something happened. What happened? Man fell. Adam sinned. So sin passed upon all men. Therefore, all have sinned and have need of a Savior. And Jesus Christ and our Heavenly Father, God took care of that a long time ago because he had a redemptive plan for the whole world. Amen. And so then, therefore, all have sinned. We have to first come to realize that we have need of a Savior. We have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We missed it, if you will. And we needed a Savior. And for those who have not at this point yet accepted Christ as your Savior, he is the way. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. He is the way to heaven. He is the way to the Father. The Bible says that there is a way that seemeth right unto man. Oh, there's a problem right there. Because if it seems right to man, then that gives an indication that there's a possibility that it may not be right. But there's a way that seemeth right unto man. So therefore man may be operating his own logic and his own reason and his own ways to think that he don't need God to get to heaven. But there's a way that seems right to man. But the Bible said, but the end thereof is death or destruction. Jesus Christ told us how to get to heaven. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. In order to get to the Father, it's gonna be through the Son, Jesus Christ. No man cometh to the Father. And then he goes on to say, I'm going to move on, but I need to understand. Somebody understand. I need the whole world to understand. And anybody that's listening to understand is that the Bible says anybody that try to enter in any other way is a thief and a robber. Uh-huh. So that indicates to me that if you see somebody trying to climb through the windows in order to get to heaven, something's wrong. The Bible says he's a thief. Because the only way to get into a house is through the door. And so he said that if you try to enter in any other way, he is a thief and a robber in the book of John. So Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. In order to enter in, you got to come through the door. All right, let me move on. It was by the paying for our sins, by the blood of Jesus when he died on the cross. So that idea of Jesus standing in your stead while you and I deserve the penalty of sin because of what Jesus Christ did for you and me. He paid for our sins and therefore redeemed us, purchased us back. Because when the Bible said when you are in sin, you are in bondage. You're in bondage to sin and in bondage to Satan. But Jesus, through his blood, purchased you and I back. Now, the idea of the purchase or the price that he paid is what I'm focused in on. The idea that when he shed his blood, the price was paid. Somebody say the price was paid. See, God wouldn't accept any price. He had a particular price. The only thing that was satisfied, first of all, it had to be a sacrifice. Because God had a whole sacrificial system of worship. But after Jesus Christ, the Hebrews talks about that. But the Old Testament, all it does, the Bible says it was a shadow of that which is to come. It points to the new. So it was showing us, amen, a preview of coming attractions. So when Hebrews talk about the sacrificial system of the Old Testament, when they sacrificed bulls and goats in sacrifice of a sin offering, what it did, it only covered their sins. Or in other words, it was a down payment. It wasn't really enough to cover it all until Jesus Christ came, the Bible said, not only as our priest, but as a sacrificial lamb. And so Hebrews tells us, not only do we have him as our priest, but we have him as a sacrificial lamb. And it's only the price that was paid on Calvary through Jesus Christ that God will accept. Because number one, number two, I want you to understand two things about this thing we're talking about today called atonement. Number one, that's God's love. Number two, that God is just. We need to understand both when you're talking about atonement and propitiation. Because first of all, you need to understand God is a just God. And he gives everybody an opportunity to say yes and to be born again. And then he is a God of love to the point that what you deserve, he did not grant unto you, but he made provisions through his dear son, Jesus Christ, to make sure that you don't have to experience, amen, the punishment for our sins. He sent his son, Jesus Christ, to take care of all of that. And then I want you to write down grace. We will talk about that later too, because all of this is all intertwined together when you talk about the wonderful love and grace, amen, and salvation of God. Atonement. Propitiation. All right. Is everybody with me so far? All right. Let me let's just go a little further. You just stay with me. By the time it's all over with, I'm telling you, you're going to have a full understanding of what I'm talking about. Don't let the big word frighten you. Atonement. Propitiation. Well, I want you to understand, first of all, that it's one of the most basic tenets of our faith. And so, first of all, write down 1 Timothy 1:15. I'm going to start moving a little faster now. 1 Timothy 1:15. The Bible said Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Christ Jesus came into the world to do what? To save sinners. Now, first of all, the Bible also teaches us what Jesus Christ said, that they who are whole have no need of a physician, but they who are sick. And Jesus came into this world because of sin. And so the Bible says Christ Jesus came. That means he wasn't there. He came. He left glory. He left heaven and came into this earth. Praise God. He came into this world for a purpose and a reason to do what? Save sinners. Somebody say that. Save sinners. Save sinners. Say it one more time. He came to save sinners. Bless God. That's the truth, praise God. That's good news. I'm glad that Jesus came to save sinners. Amen. All right. So let's move on. So atonement also means reconciliation. Reconciliation. So when you talk about atonement and propitiation, you're not only talking about that price that was paid with the blood of Jesus so that you did not have to experience, amen, the punishment of sin, but the price that was paid with the blood of Jesus and Jesus' sacrificial life took care of it all so that you can be reconciled back to God. That's what it's all about. We can be forgiven of our sins and cleansed from all unrighteousness. So he made it possible that we can be reconciled back to God. It is to restore harmony, because once man sinned and fell, there was disharmony. God had to drive Adam from that wonderful place that he placed him in, which was the garden. He put him out of the garden and had to put an angel there with a sword of flame, amen, to keep him from that tree of life. At least not only he had died, but he experienced it forever. So man was set in disharmony. I believe not only man, all of creation was set in disharmony. Is that right? Amen. The reason why I know, because even the weather was okay. How do I know that? Because the Bible said that God watered the garden by the mist. The mist. You know, you get up in the morning at certain times of the year and it's just beautiful because of all of the moistness of the water that's in the air and it's dew. You wake up in the morning and the dew is there. Praise God. But things became in disharmony, and it was a disharmony between man and God because of sin. And God had to do something about that. He came to restore harmony and restore relationship. Somebody say relationship. That's what it's all about. What kind of relationship do you have with the Lord? It's about relationship. All right. It brings back together those who have been estranged or separated. That's dealing with the tone. Reconciliation, restoration. Amen. Restoring relationship with man and God. God is in the restoration and reconciliation business. God sent his dear son Jesus to reconcile and restore us back to himself. That's what atonement is all about and propitiation is all about. All right. So don't let the big words fool you. It's all about reconciliation, payment for our sins, Jesus being the sacrificial lamb standing in our stead in order to present something to God or pay something to God that would meet the requirements, if you will. Because justice, remember I said love and justice? God is a just God. Justice required payment for sin. And the only thing that God would accept as payment was the blood of a lamb. But not just any blood, the blood of his dear son, Jesus Christ. That's heavy. That's heavy. But that's awesome. That's what the gospel is all about. Quickly write down 2 Corinthians 5:18, and it says this. Now all things are of God who has reconciled us to himself. What did God do? Reconciled us to himself. Is that what he did? That's what it plainly tells us in 2 Corinthians 5:18. It says, not only has reconciled us to himself, it's by a particular certain means. It's through Jesus Christ. How are we reconciled to God because of sin? Through Jesus Christ. All right? Somebody say through Jesus Christ. So God has reconciled us, because remember, atonement deals with reconciliation. God has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. So not only did he reconcile us, but he turned around and gave you and me a ministry of reconciliation. That's why I say this is not a church that God has called to be bench members. Why do I say that? Because this is a ministry where you got to roll up your sleeves and work. You got to touch him and say, you got to work. Come on, it's about work. The Bible said, go into the vineyard and whatsoever is just and right, I will repay. And so, my brothers and sisters, there's work involved. God, if nothing else, have gave all of us, given his whole church a ministry of what? Reconciliation. Is that important? That's why it's important. Some people say, why you put such an emphasis on evangelism? Why your church is why don't you concentrate on teaching prosperity? Well, that's not our ministry. God has given us a ministry of what? Reconciliation, reconciling the world unto himself. You need to understand why he also gave us the Holy Spirit. The Bible said when the Holy Spirit has come upon, after that, the Holy Spirit has come upon you, what did he say you shall be? Witnesses. You shall be witnesses after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Which is to do what? Reconcile mankind back unto God himself. So all of us, if nothing else, have a ministry of reconciliation, telling others about the good news of Jesus, what he did for them, how he paid the price with his own blood so that they can be reconciled now back unto God by his dear son, Jesus Christ. So God was doing something when he sent his son. He was reconciling you and me to himself through his dear son, Jesus Christ, and now have given you and me now a ministry of what? Reconciliation. And then not only that, provided us with the Holy Spirit, a means by which we can be a witness. Verse 19, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself. Mm-hmm. And so my brothers and sisters, so when you're dealing with this whole idea of atonement, it's very important. Even in the Old Testament, we see in the book of Leviticus, that kind of gives us an idea about the priest and even his responsibilities. God appointed the priest to offer a sin offering, a what? A sin offering for what? For the atonement of the people. So even in the Old Testament, the priest, one of his responsibilities was year by year, and I don't want you to pay close attention when I say year by year, because God's going to do away with that, because once and for all, when Jesus died, it took care of it all. You don't need to offer up the sacrifice of a bull or a goat or a heifer, if you will. Amen. Or a black cat. Amen. You don't need to kill. Listen. Because it's still happening today. The Bible says you don't need to do that. If you understand, amen, that Jesus died once and for all. So bless God. We're doing the work. We're working the work. Amen. We're believing in the name of Jesus Christ. And we're actually, don't let nobody fool you. Don't let the devil fool you. You're in the right place. Praise God. You're in the right place. Touching him, say, you're in the right place. Amen. Don't let the devil bamboozle you. Don't let him pull the wool over your eyes. Don't let him, amen, scam you. Amen. Don't let him fool you. Don't let him seduce you. Don't let him deceive you. You're in the right place. The gospel is being preached. We are doing exactly what God say do. And that's preach the good news of the gospel. Come on. Come on. Somebody say amen. And so, in the Old Testament, the priests offer up the sin sacrifice. That's found in Leviticus 4 and 20 and 21. Let me read it. It says this. The priests shall make an atonement for them, talking about the people, and it shall be forgiven of them. So the priests in the Old Testament would offer up an atonement for the people. But guess who our priest is now according to Hebrews? Jesus Christ is your high priest. And he offers up a sin atonement for you and me. And he ever maketh intercessions, the Bible say, for us. That's good news. That means he's praying for us all the time. Bless God. And so the Bible said, listen, verse 21, it says, and he shall carry forth the bullock outside the camp and burn him as he burned the first bullock. It is a sin offering for the congregation. So what was a priest's responsibility? Offer up a sin sacrifice. He was to do what? Take a bullock and take him what? Outside the camp. Why? That's right. Representing removing the sin out of our midst. And totally doing what? Burning it. Destroying it. Burned it. As a sacrifice of sin offering. For who? The congregation. See, when God calls you as a pastor, a religious leader, amen, there's a great responsibility. There's a responsibility to minister for the people of God. Verse, and so Leviticus, the 9th chapter, let's read that in the 7th verse. It says, and Moses said to Aaron, go unto the altar and offer thy sin offering and thy burnt offering and make an atonement for thyself. See, you first got to offer a sin for yourself. You got to be right. That's right. Man, you can't tell others to get right and you're not right. Come on, somebody say amen. Praise the Lord. Is that right? And so, my pastor, amen, years ago, once preached a message about that. The awesome thing about when the priest with his priestly garment and its bells and pomegranates on the bottom of his robe entered into the, you couldn't just enter into the Holy Holy anytime. It was a holy place. Represent the very presence of God. You couldn't do the end. And the time that you did enter was the day of Holy Holies, if you will. And when you went in, amen, he said that taught us that they tied a rope. They tied a rope around his ankle. And if you wasn't right, come on, and you entered all, you know, entered all into the Holy of Holies, wasn't right, guess what? And they just sat there and listened for the bells. The pomegranates and the bells. And as long as they heard the bells ringing, they knew the priest was still alive. But if the bells stopped ringing, guess what they had to do? They had to pull him out with the rope. They had to pull him out of the holy place. Because, see, some people, they come behind the pulpit and just enter in the presence of God any kind of way. You can't do that. God is a holy God. Come on, somebody say amen. And that's the reason why I'm telling you, my brothers, don't let the devil bamboozle you. No nonsense going on here at Valley Berean Christian Church. You don't see the kind of sin you see going on or the happenings going on in the church. Amen. Don't play with God. Come on, somebody say amen. And so if they wasn't right and they went into the Holy of Holies, bless God, and if they wasn't right, God would just strike them right then and there, and they had to pull them out of the Holy of Holies. Because God is a holy God. And you first have to realize that because he's holy, you got to first confess your sin. I got to confess my sin before I come in the presence of God. We all have to prepare ourselves to come before the presence of a holy God. Come on, somebody talk to me. And so they had to first offer up a sin for themselves, a sin sacrifice, an offering for themselves and then for the people. Is everybody with me? And it says, and offer the offering of the people and make an atonement for them. As the Lord has commanded. That's a commandment of the Lord. Everybody with me? Okay. It says, it is the blood of Jesus that makes atonement for our souls. What is it? The blood of Jesus. Leviticus tells us that in Leviticus 17 and 11. Stay with me. Leviticus 17 and 11 said, for it is the blood, somebody say the blood, that maketh an atonement for the soul. The blood that makes atonement, that pays the price, if you will, for the penalties of our sin. The blood of Jesus. The blood. Somebody say the blood. That's why it's an awesome, powerful truth. There's power in the blood because it makes atonement for our souls. Romans 5 and 11 says this. And not only so, but we also joy in God. That's why we got to have joy in where we are in Christ Jesus. Joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom, somebody say by whom, by whom we now have received the atonement. That means we didn't have it before. But when Jesus Christ died and shed his precious blood, we said yes to the Lord Jesus Christ. We received atonement for our sins. And therefore, you do not have to pay for, if you will. So if God, like my pastor used to say, if God paid for it, why are you standing back in line to pay it all over again? Just simply accept the awesome, wonderful works that Jesus Christ did for you and me. So why did God offer his son? It's because of remember one of the words I told you to remember was the love of God and the justice of God, right? Why did he do it? Because he is a God of love. Romans 5 and 8 says, but God commended his love towards us, or he extended his love towards us. In that while we were yet sin. I mean, when you were still in the crack house. That means when you were still walking those streets. That means when you were still shooting your veins, amen, with that crack. Come on. When you were still lying, cheating, and stealing. When you were still being disobedient. When you were still doing all manner of evil. When you still was hating your brother. Come on, when you're still walking in self. When you were still yet in sin, Christ died for us. Is that right? While we were yet in sin, yet sinners, Christ died for us. Verse 9, much more now being justified, that means being made right with God because of Jesus Christ and everything that he did, being justified, how? It's by the blood of Jesus. Because the Bible said being justified by his blood, how are we justified? By his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. That's a lot. That verse is packed with power. Not only now we've been justified, because before we were in sin, we were forgiven of our sin, cleansed from all righteousness by the blood of Jesus. We have been saved from, somebody say saved from. We've been saved from something too. So saved from his wrath through him, Christ Jesus. Verse 10, for if when we were enemies, come on. Bible said before you became born again, you were an enemy of God. In other words, you were fighting against God. I'm going to say, I wouldn't even have it. I wouldn't even think about fighting against an almighty God. Yes, you were. Before you became born again, you were throwing dukes with God. Amen. You were throwing punches at God. Come on, left, right. Because of sin, you were fighting against God. God told you to do something. I won't. Come on. But the Bible says, well, we were enemies, but we are reconciled to God by the death of his son. Much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. Amen. That's good news. So no longer are we not enemies with God. We have been born again and in the family of God. We have been saved by the life of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And then everybody remember the second word I gave you? Justice. Somebody say justice. But I know there's some people out there in the world who don't believe God, say he's not just. Well, he's not just. How come he allowed this? And how come he allowed that? God, I just can't see him as a just God. Let me tell you something. God said he is just. And everything that he's, this very character, the very essence of who he is just. Whether you understand him or not, whether you believe him or not, he's just. He is a just God. He's fair. Come on. God allowed his son to stand in our place to pay for our sin so that we can be brought back into right relationship with him. Justice. Somebody say justice. Demanded payment for sin. And the only thing that fulfilled the requirement for payment was the blood of Jesus as the sacrificial lamb. Romans 3:24 says this, and being justified freely. Next word I want you to underline and understand is something called grace. Somebody say grace. We're talking about reconciliation of God, the love of God, the grace of God, the reconciliation of God, the payment for our sin, atonement, and propitiation. Good Lord Almighty. And being freely justified freely by his grace, that means you didn't earn it. There's some religions have a month of doing good works a certain time of the year, right? You had to do good for a whole month. And why did you have to do good? So somehow or another, the idea is somehow or another you can work up all of these points with God. If I can just muster up enough points with God, I'd be in good standing. The Bible says, for by grace are you saved. It means you cannot earn it. It is a gift of God. Freely he have given it, and freely it must be received. All right? So through redemption, oh, there's another word, redemption. Everybody understand that word, redemption? I understand it. I once told you about those green stamps. Praise God. Yeah, that's redemption. You take those stamps and put them in a book, bless God, and you can get you a blender if you want it. Or whatever it was you wanted, bless God. Redemption, you redeem those stamps. We've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Is that right? Come on, so let me read on. It says in verse 25, Romans 3:25, it says this, whom God have set forth, talking about Jesus, have set him forth to be a propitiation through faith. Now, propitiation again is what? Payment, making payment for our sins. God caused Jesus to be that sacrificial lamb, to be the payment. Is everybody with me? The payment for our sin. And it's through faith. That's what you believe in his blood. To declare his, now listen, something else is going on. Not only is he declaring you to be righteous, but God is also, watch it now. I know you never heard this before, but God is also declaring himself to be righteous. Now who can stand against God when God said, I am righteous, I am just. And let me show you, I'm doing it through my son, Jesus Christ. I declare myself as just and righteous when I sent my son, Jesus Christ. Come on. Why did he do that? Because he's declaring that not only is there a God of love, but he is a just God. He's righteous. Somebody say righteous. That he might be just. There it is. So that he might be what? Just. And here it is, the justifier of him that believeth in Jesus Christ. So God and Jesus Christ is your justifier. Say that. He's my justifier. Why do we need to do that? So when the accuser comes to accuse you and say that you're not born again, you got a justifier that's justifying you. He declares you to be right before God. Woo, that's good news. He declared it. Who can stand against God's declaration that you are a child of God? That's the reason why I'm not concerned about, you know, who think I'm saved and who think I'm not saved. I'm only concerned about what God thinks. He is the one that says whether or not I get into heaven. And that's the reason why we need to stop being so concerned about what others think. You need to be concerned about what God said. The Bible said, don't be afraid of one that can destroy the body, but you need to be afraid of one that can destroy the soul. Come on, talk to me. He is my justifier because I believe in Christ Jesus, my Lord. Propitiation. Somebody say propitiation. A sacrifice that bears God's wrath because of sin, so that we could be declared right before God. This idea goes to the Lord's character. See, if you say God is not just, you are coming against his very character. You are coming against his very nature. If you say God is not just, you are coming against God's character and against his nature, because he is a righteous God. He is a just God. Come on, somebody talk to me in this place. God is not fair. Yes, he is. He's a fair God. I'm going through what I'm going through. I don't understand it. Just get right with God. Obey what he says. Come on. Because he's just. And he justifies those who are obedient and will believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Justice required penalty for sin, but it's mercy. Here come another one. Mercy. Somebody say mercy. Oh my goodness. Wow. We talk about grace, we talk about redemption, we talk about propitiation, we talk about atonement, we talk about his mercy and his justice. Somebody say mercy again. His mercy, because he is a God of mercy. Exodus 33 and 19, I'm almost done, stay with me. Exodus 33 and 19 says this, and he, talking about God, said, I will make all my goodness pass before thee. Oh my goodness. God said he will cause all of his goodness to pass right before you. Cause you to experience the wonderful goodness of God. He said, I will proclaim the name of the Lord before you. That's why the devil get out your way. Because there's somebody to go before you. That's the Lord. He declares his righteousness. He goes before you. Bless God. And he says, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before you and will be gracious. There's that word grace. Gracious. In other words, you can't earn it. He just gives it to you. And he said, I will show you mercy. And at least somebody would scold God for showing mercy. God said, I will show mercy on whom I choose. That's heavy. Somebody said, well, how come you don't punish him? God said, I will show mercy whom I choose. Because maybe it's by the love and mercy that he's showing them, it's drawing them unto himself. So don't get mad at God. Praise him. Come on, talk to me. Numbers 14 and 18. Sometimes we get so holy, we forget that God is a holy God. He is the one that makes the decision, not us. Numbers 14 and 18 says, and the Lord is long-suffering. That means he's patient. And of great mercy. Here we go. Forgiving iniquity and transgressions and by no means clearing the guilty. Means that God will hold us responsible for and accountable for what we do. And that's why we need a Savior to stand in our place. So God does not have to grant unto us what we deserve. Praise God. This is awesome. Psalms 86 and 5 says this, for thou, O Lord, art good. He is what? He is good and ready to forgive. I'm like, well, I don't know. God said he's ready to forgive. In other words, he's already inclined to forgive a person. He's in the position already. You don't have to talk him into it. You don't have to persuade him. Just believe. Because he's ready to forgive and he is plenteous in mercy, plenty of mercy unto all them that call upon his name. You got to humble yourself though and call on his name. Long as we try to do it without humbling ourselves, not going to work. You got to humble yourself before the mighty hand of God and he will exalt you. Come on. Micah 7 and 18 says this, who is a God like unto thee that pardons sin and iniquity and passeth by transgressions and the remnant of his heritage? He retaineth not his anger forever because he delighteth in mercy. So that means God don't hold on to wrath forever. Yes, Adam sinned. God had a plan so that he could show his redemption, his love, his mercy, his grace, and his forgiveness unto mankind, showing that he's not only righteous, but he is just. Oh, my goodness. And then he is a God of grace. Psalms 103:8 says, the Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and plenteous in mercy. So, you know, it's kind of like running a red sign 1,000 times. Is everybody with me? You got to want to get there. Is everybody with me? You got to want to just have an inclination to be disobedient to God, because God continually shows his grace and mercy. Not willing that any should perish, but all come into the knowledge of the truth and come into salvation. So unless you are inclined, amen, to just be bent against obeying God, God say, I'm plenteous in mercy. And if you would just say yes to my will and my way, I'll save you and forgive you and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. My goodness, this is good. Ephesians 2:4 says, but God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherein he loved us. Meaning he loved us before we even loved ourselves. Verse 5, even when we were dead in sin. Dead in sin. Because you walking in sin, my brothers and sisters, the Bible says you dead. Come on, dead in sins. Come on. And have quickened us. That means it made us alive together with Christ Jesus. Now he comes about and said, but for by grace are you saved. Oh my goodness. Grace. Somebody say grace. Grace. By grace are you saved. He quickened me and made me alive with Christ Jesus. I'm no longer dead in sin. I've been made alive with Christ. Because of his grace I've been saved and have raised us up. Come on. You need to lift up your head, because God have raised you up together. And made us. I know the devil don't like it, but he made you to sit in the seat that you sitting in. Somebody talk to me in this house. He made you to be seated in heavenly places. I know the devil don't like it. Jesus Christ, they have a seat right here. Come on, talk to me. Have a seat right here. Because I'm going to seat you in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. That's good news, my brothers and sisters. So, as I rush her close, we got to understand that it's by his awesome, wonderful grace. He is a God of love. He is a God of mercy. He is a just God. He gave through his atonement and his propitiation, paid all the sin for you and me, so then we didn't have to pay it. Romans 3:24, and just being freely justified by grace through redemption. I talked about that redemption, right? That is in Christ Jesus. That's what a redemption is, in Christ Jesus. Not by works, lest any man should boast, but in Christ Jesus. So let me close with this, my brothers and sisters. Since it is impossible, therefore, that the blood of bulls and goats could take away our sins, God sent a better sacrifice. Somebody say a better sacrifice. A better sacrifice. A better covenant, a better sacrifice. The bulls of goats was the Old Testament, but a better sacrifice, a new covenant. Come on, somebody say a better sacrifice. Woo, a better sacrifice through his son, Jesus Christ. That's Hebrews 10, amen, and 1-7 says, for the law, stay with me, I'm about done. I'm closing right here. For the law, having a, here we go, a shadow. Somebody say a shadow. A shadow's not the real thing. It's just casting a reflection on, gives an image of. Come on. Of God's dear son, Jesus Christ. A shadow of not bad things, but a shadow of good things to come. There it is. I see it all the time, but here it is. Write it down. Hebrews 10:1. Amen. It was a shadow of things to come. Come meaning in the future. But Jesus came now. And not the very image of the things. Listen. This is the reason why this is the very crux of where I'm going as I close. Amen. It says, and not the very things. Can never with those sacrifices, talking about the sacrifice of bulls and goats and the ashes of a heifer. Heifer, amen. The Bible said that wasn't enough. Come on, somebody say it wasn't enough. Wasn't enough. Amen. That's why we need to understand Hebrews, because this is heavy. Heavy. It says, can never with those sacrifices which they offer. Listen, year by year. Continually. In other words, every year they would be reminded. Every year a sacrifice had to be offered up. Somebody say every year. The Bible said, but it could never remove the sacrifice. It could never satisfy. Amen. It continually make the comers thereunto perfect. Couldn't do it. Verse 2, for then would they have ceased to be offered. In other words, they would have did it and did it one time, and one time would have been enough. But the Bible says, because that the worshipers once purged should have had no more conscience of sin. Now, you can't confess sin unless you first have a conscience that you sin. Come on. Well, I don't need to be born again. Yeah, but you got to get to the point where you realize that you sin first. You can't go into Alcoholics Anonymous and be delivered of your alcoholism unless you first admit, I'm an alcoholic. I'm a drug addict. Now, you got to say it. No. You can't make paint it pretty. Oh, yeah, I use substance. No, I abuse drugs. I'm addicted. And I need help. You got to get to that point. You got to admit it first. I'm a sinner. Don't dress it up. God, you know, I made some mistakes. No, No, I'm a sinner. I sin against you, God. And it's only when we get to that place where we can admit it, amen, that we can be saved. Come on. Don't dress it up. Don't dress it up, because you're not really facing the problem. Don't dress it up. I'm a sinner. Save me, Lord. I need you. Save me. Verse 3. It says, but in those sacrifices, there is a remembrance again made of sin every year. Verse 4. But it is not possible. There it is again. Not possible. That the blood of bulls and goats should take away. There's the key words, take away. Somebody said, well, how come God even established that whole sacrificial system of the Old Testament if it was for nothing? It wasn't for nothing. When they offered it up in the Old Testament, it was just a covering. It was like a down payment. But when Jesus Christ offered up his blood, the Bible said once and for all, one time was enough. Somebody say one time was enough. It paid it all. And there's now no longer a need for a sacrifice, because his blood took away our sins. A shadow, what you say, brother? A shadow of things to come. But then that which was an image of the shadow did come. It took care of everything. Read Hebrews. Powerful text. Verse 6. 5. Wherefore, when he cometh into the world, he saith, sacrifice and offering thou would have not, but a body thou hast prepared. Jesus voluntarily offered up himself as a sacrifice for you and me. He didn't force him. Well, God had to send his son. No, God said, who will go? And Jesus Christ said, I'll go. Prepare me a body, and I'll go down. Burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin thou hast no pleasure. In other words, those burnt offerings and sacrifice wasn't enough. Verse 7. Then I said, lo, I come in the volume in which it was prophesied that I would come. O God, in obedience I go. So, my brothers and sisters, one sacrifice offered once and for all was sufficient. Somebody say sufficient. To satisfy the requirement and penalty for sin. So as a result of Jesus Christ's sacrificial death, it satisfies four needs. Write them down. Sacrifice. Number one, sacrifice, which is the idea of everything we've been talking about today, atonement. The idea that to pay the penalty of sin and death we deserve because of our sin, Christ died as a sacrifice in our stead. So he appeared once and for all to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. That's Hebrews 9 and 26. Sacrifice. Number two, it satisfies the need for propitiation. That is to remove us from the wrath of God that we deserve. In other words, he moved us away. He moved us out of the place that deserved the wrath of God because of sin. Propitiation. Moved us out of the way. And he stood, he moved you out of the way and he stood in your place. Propitiation. Christ died for us as the propitiation for our sin. He paid the price, the justice that required for you and me. John said, in this love, not that we love God, but that he loved us first and sent his son to be a propitiation for our sins. That's 1 John 4 and 10. And then the third thing, my brothers, is reconciliation. We needed to be reconciled back to God because we were separated from God. Amen. We were separated because of sin. We needed someone to provide reconciliation to bring us back into fellowship with God. Paul says that God, through Christ, reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation, that is, in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself. 2 Corinthians 5, 18 and 19. And then, my brothers and sisters, redemption. Somebody say redemption. Redemption, because when we were in sin, we were in bondage and in sin and bondage to Satan. We needed someone to provide redemption and purchase us back to God. Jesus paid the ransom for our sin. Now, I need for you to understand something. Say, Jesus Christ paid the ransom for my sin. Now, listen, most people in their mind would think that Jesus paid the ransom to the devil, as if the devil had that kind of power to hold you throughout eternity. No, Jesus Christ paid the ransom to the Father because justice required the payment. Come on, talk to me. Is that right? Jesus paid the price that we can be redeemed by his own precious blood, voluntarily gave himself, that would satisfy God. The Bible says, for the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. Mark 10:45. And we must realize that Christ paid the ransom for his life and it was accepted by God. It was not paid to Satan to satisfy something that God could not claim because Satan held us ransom, but because of justice that required an acceptable payment. Christ fulfilled that payment. And so because of Christ Jesus' death, we are redeemed. Somebody say, I'm redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. From the dominion of darkness and transferred. Somebody say transferred. Transferred into the kingdom of God's dear Son. That's Colossians 1:13. So Hebrews, in closing, says this. By which will we be are satisfied through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once, somebody say once, for all. And every priest standeth daily ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifice, which can never take away sin. But this man, somebody say this man, talking about Jesus in Hebrews 10 and 12, this man, Jesus, after he offered one sacrifice for sin, once was enough, watch it now, he sat down. He sat down. Somebody say he sat down. He sat down at the right hand of God. So by faith, we have the confidence of knowing that it is settled in heaven and on earth, that we are forgiven and the price has already been paid and the penalties for our sins have been paid once and for all. Somebody say once and for all. That's the good news of the gospel. When it's regarding the atonement for our sins, Jesus being the propitiation, standing in our stead, paying for it all. That's awesome. Isn't that awesome good news? That's it. That's it. Back to the basics. Atonement. Let us never forget that what God did for us in his Son, Jesus Christ, and the blood that he shed, that we can be forgiven of our sins. His great love. He's a just God. He redeemed us. Justice, mercy, grace, truth. Wow. We cut up a lot of ground, my brothers and sisters. But praise God for his awesome, awesome love. God bless you. Come on, stand on your feet.
Well, I pray that this episode has been a blessing to you. I want to hear from you. Please send any letters to Pastor Elijah Wells, P.O. Box 922228. That's 42 and an 8. Sylmar, California 91342. Again, that's Pastor Elijah Wells, P.O. Box 922228, Sylmar, California 91342. While you're at it, please include a love gift to help support this ongoing ministry to touch the lives of those seeking to know the Lord. You also can go to our website at valleybrien.org. That's valleybrien.org. Thank you for your support.